Hello.
Sherelle Johnson.
Yep, again, good evening to everybody. Tonight, what we want to do, because we started our last call on the 21 irrefutable laws, and we tried to get through the first three, but we actually only got through those first two. And so what I want to do tonight is quickly just kind of review the third law. After I review the third law, what we want to do is review law two with actually a short John Maxwell teaching. Then we'll have a teaching actually by John Maxwell. Actually, it's one of the recordings he's given us just to kind of give. And so we'll listen to his perspective on law three. And then there's this guy named Joseph Stengel. He does a financial component. It's entitled I Was Broke, Now I'm Not. And he deals with both debt reduction and how to handle finances. And I think it goes really well with this law three, because if you downloaded your worksheet, you know the law three is actually the law process. And what John deals with, and what we all kind of have to grab hold of whenever we talk about leadership, is understanding that even Rome wasn't built in a day. It's a cliche, but it's really a good principle to understand, because you can get frustrated if you try to do things immediately or do things quick, or if you have big dreams and big goals, big vision, and it doesn't happen as quick, fast, and in a hurry as you want it to do. So one of the things he talks about is really understanding that everything happens in process, and you've got to have a really good plan. So that's really that first blank in your worksheet, that the law is the law of process. Leadership is something that develops daily, not in a day. And so it's a combination of all of your experiences. Again, that's why, you know, I'm really excited about the Mastermind, because we have, a large group of people from diverse backgrounds that come together and create different experiences. And all of these different experiences, you know, allow us to develop differently. The key is understanding that from where you are and what you see, it's not always going to happen instantaneously, but you have to do something every day. And no matter what your business is, maybe it's a ministry, maybe there's a personal goal, some development, you can't just write it down and or think about it and then make it happen in a day. As a matter of fact, a lot of things that you can make happen in a day, you probably want to check or recheck. I know in my personal life, you know, I'm a quick, fast, in a hurry type of guy. After I think it, I'm already putting it in motion. And one of the things my wife helped me understand is that if I just slow down a little bit, some of the things that I did, I would have rethought or I would have done differently if I hadn't done them so quick. And so now, you know, just me personally, what I've kind of understood is if I can get it done in a day, then whatever I finished at the end of that day was not my best product. Matter of fact, there's this guy who was trying to submit a book to Maxwell. He gave him the book. So he wrote him, you know, he wrote the first time. He emailed it to him. Maxwell emailed it back to him. He said, this is not your best work. So the guy wrote again, submitted the next draft of his paper. Maxwell sent it back to him and says, I still don't think this is your best work. You can do better than this. So that happened probably four times. The fifth time, the guy said, you know what, I'm not going to email it. So he actually flew into Florida, took it to Maxwell, put it in his hand. And Maxwell looked at it and said, is this your best work? And the guy said, look, I can't do anything else. This is the best I can do. I'm not writing one more word. Maxwell looked at him and smiled and said, okay, now I guess I'll read it. That's only funny because initially he hadn't read it at all, because he knows that whatever you do the first time is rarely your best work. And when we understand that with leadership, particularly with the law of process, then you want to be confident and comfortable with doing things over a period of time. You know, for those who do a ministry, one of the things I noticed biblically is that God never gave a God-sized assignment to any person who could complete it. You know, every biblical giant we look at started something, but then later God brought somebody else along to help them finish out their task. And so really just kind of understand that everything we do has some type of process or some duration, and you do not finish and complete great and awesome, magnificent, legacy-type missions, assignments, or jobs in a day. Second thing we look at when we talk about the law of process is that leadership is more like investing. It compounds. Like you put in a little bit, it gains interest. You put in a little bit, it gains interest. You put in a little bit, it gains interest. And so, again, I want to encourage each person, no matter what it is you're doing, no matter what it is you're trying to accomplish, you know, to do a little bit every day. For many of you, you may be working a job that may not be something that maximizes your full potential purpose. And so you have what people call a side gig or a side job. If that's the case, you know, you want to do something with that every day. If it's nothing more than, you know, jumping online, Googling some information about whatever it is you're studying or whatever it is you're searching for, whatever it is you're looking for. Every day you want to kind of put some effort into whatever it is you're trying to accomplish because it proves that you understand the law of process. There are five things that happen when we talk about leadership and process that you got to be honest about. The first, these are on your worksheet. The first is understanding that you don't know what you don't know. So there are a lot of things that you are simply just totally ignorant of. And you would be even more ignorant to think that you knew everything about what you're trying to do. You got to know that there's some people out there who are going to do it greater, better, who've done it longer. And our goal is really to understand that there's some things we just don't know yet. The second part of leadership is understanding that I know that I need to know. So the things that you don't know, you want to spend some time. Again, like I said, you may be Googling. My wife and I were laughing earlier today talking about Encyclopedia Britannica. You know, everybody was excited when they first got an encyclopedia because you had information at your fingertips. Now you have different apps. You have so many resources that you should want to find out information that you don't know, opposed to trying to make information, try to make decisions in the dark. So know that there's some things you don't know, but then also know that there are things you need to know that you don't know. The third thing is you have to know what you don't know and plan for growth. So the first one is I know that I don't know some things. The second part of this law is I know I need to know them. And then the third one is I know what I don't know. So this is the part, it just sounds a little wordy, but the idea is at first I didn't know anything. After I figured out that there were some things I didn't know, I started looking for things. I started researching. I started asking questions. I started having lunches with people who specialize in those particular areas. And then once they told me something that I didn't know, what you do then is you actually start trying to learn things about what you don't know. I hope it's not confusing. So I'm going to try to get real slow. The first one is I know that I don't know everything. The second one is I know that I need to know. And the third one is now I'm going to start learning some of the things that I don't know so that you become skilled in a diversity of areas as opposed to just the one area that you've always been good at. The fourth phase of leadership is I know and I grow and it starts to show. That's old school hip-hop right there, like Will Smith and Get Jiggy With It, old school. But the idea is true. Once you start learning things that you had no idea existed, then it should show in what you're doing. You should start implementing. You should start putting it into practice. It should in some way inspire others to want to learn it because you're so passionate about what you just learned. Again, we're talking basic leadership. Remember, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. And you influence more people, which means you lead more people in your ability to know more. I was just kind of teaching class a few weeks ago with a group of preachers, and I was sharing with them, you don't know everything, and there are parts of the Bible that really won't make sense until you learn things you don't know. For instance, I've preached the Exodus text time and time again with Moses screaming about bricks with no straw. But it wasn't until I met some people that were in our congregation who actually do masonry, and they taught me through the process of how to make bricks and what having bricks with no straw actually meant, that it changed how I looked at that particular situation. And likewise, you know, as you start learning things, as you start gleaning information, as you start growing in areas that you had no idea existed, then you should then exude with that type of passion where other people pick it up. The fifth phase of leadership is I simply go because of what I know. Now what happens is you start to create plans, you start to create blueprints, you start to reshape what was your initial dream, vision, or goal because you have information now that you didn't have when you began. For some of you, it's going to be finding new ways to finance your goals, finance your dreams, finance your business. Initially, you know, you were trying to find sponsors, but you know now is that there's grant money available for the very thing you're trying to do. For some of you, you only chose people who were proficient in the same field you were in. But what we've been sharing, you know, even in our masterminds, is that people who are in totally different fields that share the same skill sets. And if you can partner with people that are in totally different fields, then together your resources kind of help push your goal, your dream, your vision forward. There are five phases of leadership when we talk about process. Understand that whatever you're trying to do is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen quickly. And if it does, you want to reassess whatever it is you've done. So one, in the law of process, you've got to understand that there's some things you just don't know. The second thing you learn in the law of process is that because you don't know them, you need to know them. You need to try to figure them out. The third thing is now I'm starting to know what I didn't know before. I'm not a professional at it, not perfect, but I'm learning a little bit of it. The fourth one is now that I know it, I'm growing as a result, and I'm starting to show it. I'm telling people, it's showing up in conversations, in lectures, in planning. And then the fifth one is I go because of what I know. Now I'm starting to actually implement the very things that was spoken about. What we look at the end of that worksheet, it talks about living the law. And again, one of the things we say is whatever we learn in our mastermind, it should be something that you share with others. You want to ask yourself, what is your plan for growth? Joseph Singer is going to talk a little bit about that, particularly on the finance side. But again, every business should have a business plan. When I say business plan, I'm not talking about just on paper. I mean, obviously, you want to have something on paper, but you want to have a systematic plan on how you're going to succeed. It's really elementary. You know, our elementary school teachers talked about it. But if you shoot for the stars and miss, you know, at least you hit the moon. But if you don't shoot at all, then you still hit what you're shooting for. One of the goals for the law of process and accomplishing a plan is making sure you actually have a plan for growth. The second Roman numeral down there, number two, is you have to plan and reflect daily. Again, that's what we just talked about as far as making sure you do something that has to deal with your goal, your business, your ministry, your assignment. Do something daily. He recommends that you read John Maxwell's book, Today Matters. I'll tell you guys this. That's one of the books we actually have in our curriculum, and so you'll get that in the later part of the mastermind. So if you just want to get it early, you can do that, but that'll be something you'll get through the mastermind. And then the question we ask is, what will you commit to daily? As you learn, one of the things that's important about learning that proves that you learned something is you actually change your habit or your daily activity. So the question, you know, we're asking is, tomorrow when you try to do something different to help maximize the potential for accomplishing your goal or accomplishing, growth or having leadership blossom, the question I'm asking is, what are you going to do different tomorrow that you didn't do today? Matter of fact, better question might even be for some of you, what have you done since we met last Thursday with all the information we had? Was there anything you did differently? Did you try to implement anything we talked about in those laws? Have you tried to influence anybody? Did you think about the difference between management and entrepreneurship and being a pioneer? Did you try to do something as far as connecting with another person to actually increase your lead? Those are all things we talk about when we talk about committing to doing something daily. This is kind of a summary of Law 3. Tonight, again, what we're going to do is get a review of Law 2. We'll get a review of Law 3, and then we'll close out with about a 20-minute presentation from Joseph Sengel. Now, before we get to that review session that we're going to get from John Maxwell, I want to encourage everybody, if you can, to jump on Facebook. Most of you, or all of you, actually should have received an invite to join the group, the Crown Ministries group. Important, if you can actually get to that, because if you can get into the group, that's actually where we're going to start facilitating questions. We're really trying to keep the call to an hour, and later on we're actually going to be able to enter in the conference rooms in the conference call so that we can have some Q&A. But I really want to kind of flush out these first 15 laws because they become foundation for everything we're going to do. But I know we have questions. I know, you know, a couple of you text some questions, you email some questions, and I want to make that public instead of asking it directly. And, of course, you can do that. But I really love to make that public because I believe that many of the questions you have are questions other people will have. And so if you don't mind, you know, post those questions and or comments in the Facebook group, not the fan page, but in the actual Facebook group. And there, you know, we'll kind of create some conversation, create some buzz about what's going on, the good, and maybe some critique, whatever you want to give. But any conversation you have about our masterminds, we want to have those in the Facebook group. At this time, I will go ahead and start our review of law number 2.
Law number three is the law of process, which basically says leaders develop daily, not in a day. Now, I'm known as kind of a leadership guru or expert, and people come to my conferences, and I've heard them say many times, oh, I'm so excited to hear you speak today because I'm going to become a leader. Or they'll grab hold of a couple of books or a training kit, and they'll kind of walk out, and, you know, at the end of the day, and, you know, they'll kind of look at each other and say, hey, I are a leader, you know. And they think that because they bought a book or bought a kit or went to an event that somehow that's going to make them a leader. And let me just say to you, I'm not that good. I've never helped anybody become a leader in a day. I've never written a book that allow you to become a leader in a day. You see, to lead well takes a long period of time. Leadership is a pretty complicated journey. It's more than just one thing or doing one thing that makes you a leader. And so, therefore, you've got to learn and grow and apply and adjust and readjust. And it's a process. And what is sad for many people is they're unwilling to do the process. They're unwilling to take the journey. They kind of want the instant gratification of getting the title and becoming a leader. And somehow they kind of want to just put in water and stir and develop some kind of a leadership, kind of a banner for which they can go under. And it won't happen that way. In fact, I take for a moment and just congratulate you. I'm so glad that you've joined our team. You know what you've said by doing this? You said to me and you've said to yourself, you're saying to others, I'm willing to go through a process. I'm willing to take time to learn to be a coach. I'm willing to take time to learn to be a speaker. I know that it isn't going to happen overnight. I know that it's not going to be just one book or one session or one coaching session or one speaking event. I know that this is going to be a process. I congratulate you because it is a process and you have a maturity about you that understands that we're going to work together and slowly. You're going to develop, and slowly you're going to grow. You see, the problem is too many leaders, they want to be microwaved. They want to be put in a microwave and push a couple numbers and kind of zap them, and, you know, out comes the leader. And by the way, that's the problem. We have too many microwave leaders and too many Pop-Tarts running around trying to lead, and they've just been zapped. They've just been hit, that's all. And they're not a leader. They just have gone through one class or read one book or just one quick crash course. You see, you don't want to be microwaved. You want to get into the leadership crock pot. You want to marinate. You want to simmer. You want to allow time to bring out the sweet flavors of who you are and who you can be and what your potential really is. So I congratulate you. You've joined the team. And you're ready for the long haul. You're ready for the process. And you know that very little can be accomplished in a day, but an awful lot can be accomplished in a succession of consecutive days. And you're saying, I'm going to layer my life. I'm going to compound my life. I'm going to one day at a time maximize that day. But I know over a time of days, I'm going to be the coach. I'm going to be the speaker that I really want to become because I am committed. I am determined to follow the law of the process. Shortcuts don't pay off in the long run. In fact, I have a friend who told me one time, the longest distance between two points is a shortcut. And I've known an awful lot of people take long journeys trying to do quick fixes and shortcuts. That's not what we're all about. That's not what the John Maxwell team is all about. We're for the long haul. We're for the process. Because we know it's the process, intentionally, day in, day out, doing the right thing, that'll help us to reach our potential. That's what you want for yourself. That's what I want for you.
That was just kind of John's take on the same law. Again, he has some longer teachings on it, but that was just one excerpt. What we're going to talk about now is really just kind of coming up with a plan. This is actually session two on one of Joseph Stengel's teachings on coming up with a plan and being able to finance it. So now we're here from Joseph Stengel.
Well, I'm so excited to be back at session two of the I Was Broke, Now I'm Not group study. In this last session, you learned that you must have a plan. There must be a plan. And hopefully, you took the time since last session to write down on paper your hopes, plans, and dreams. On paper. It's so important to write down what it is that you want to accomplish with your life. You know, that thing that fires you up. That thing that makes you wake up every single morning and say, I can't believe I get to do this. Yes! The thing you're passionate about. I hope that you know at least one thing in your life that you can be passionate about and that you wrote it down and that you're starting to take steps towards making that become a reality. Because there's no life like the one that's lived doing exactly what you're put on earth to do. It may not be fun all the time, but when you're passionate about it, that passion helps you weather through the tough aspects of it. And so I know that you'll have a great discussion about that, what you wrote down in that discussion portion of tonight's session. But here's the deal. Last week we talked about it's important to have a plan for your life. That means the next part, which is tonight's session, is you have to have a plan for your money. You must have a spending plan. You must have a spending plan. There must be a spending plan. See, the day I wrote down my plans, hopes, and dreams was the day that I had the catalyst in my life for writing down a plan for my money, because I realized that my dreams cost money. Fishing all the time costs money. Did you know that your plan, hope, and dream to have a stay-at-home mother costs money? It does. My wife was a teacher, and I thought, wow, teachers, they don't make a whole lot of money. And then she announced that our first baby was on the way. And I was like, you make so much money. You're a teacher and you make so much money. Because I knew it meant she was going to come home and be a stay-at-home mom. And that income, we waved goodbye to it. See, it costs money even for that. A lot of my plans, hopes, and dreams, in fact, all of them cost some money. A dream house, a dream boat, being able to do a different job, to start a business. All this stuff costs money. And as a result, for us to be able to fund it, we have to have a plan for the money. There must be a spending plan. Proverbs 21:5 talks about it. It says that the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. The plans of the diligent, the people that stick with it, the people who persevere, that leads to profit. Anything else, haste leads to poverty. Listen, I don't want to go to poverty. I want to head towards profit. And that means the plans of the diligent lead to that. So that means we need to be diligent. What does diligence mean? It means that we're going to stick with this, even when it's tough, even when it's not fun and when it's not popular. We're going to be diligent about it. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. See, I've learned that through engineering school, I learned how to do calculus. I took 8 semesters of calculus. I can't do any of it now. I got out of there as fast as I could and forgot all of it that I could. And see, here's the facts. I learned how to do calculus, and yet I was broke. And the truth is, I barely graduated from engineering school. So I went and talked to my 4.0 perfect straight A's all the way through engineering school friends, and they were broke too. And I went, man, this must be hard. And I found out we were thinking too hard. It's just first grade math. In fact, I brought the formula to show you tonight. It is income minus outgo equals exactly zero. Income minus outgo equals exactly zero. In fact, I would tell you that it's easy to win with money. Do you believe me? It's easy to win with money. I can prove it. I take the I from income, and I subtract the O from outgo, and I take the E from exactly and the Z from zero, and it's easy. See, I proved it. It's easy. You're not impressed. What must I do? That was it. That's my big deal. Well, I'll try to recover here on stage, but you know, it is easy. If it's exactly zero, it's first grade math. If your outgo exceeds your income, that won't work, will it? I mean, maybe you make $1,000 a month. If you spend $1,100 a month, that won't work. You can make $30,000 a month, and if you spend $35,000 a month, that won't work. The fact remains, income minus outgo equals exactly zero. It's not a fact I created. I wish that money would magically appear, but it doesn't. And so we have to manage the money to the best of our ability and make income minus outgo equal exactly zero. It is easy. So let me show you a couple basic budgets and ask you, will this work? So the first one is income minus outgo balances to zero. So we pull up the monthly budget form from the wildly popular groupstudy.iwasbrokenimnot.com website or joesengel.com and click on tools at the top of the page. And we pull up a budget and let's look at some samples. Just looking at the top, not looking at all where the money went, but income minus outgo in this example equals what? What does it have to equal? Exactly zero. That's correct. Some of you said zero. If you say zero, I can't say that it's easy. I can just say that it's Z, and that won't work. So I need you to play my little game and call it exactly zero. Okay, so it's income minus outgo equals exactly zero. Will this work? The answer is yes. This should work. We don't see all of the plan, but we know that this person is not spending more than they're bringing in. Okay, let's look at the next one. Income minus outgo is showing a favorable $3,000. It's yellow, and so will this plan work? They've entered their income, but it's obvious they don't have a plan for their outgo. So the answer is it could work, but they haven't got a plan for every dollar they're making, and as a result, we know money without a plan can tend to fly away, can't it? And it won't go exactly where we want it to go, so this isn't the ideal scenario. Let's look at another scenario. Income minus outgo, and this one is exactly zero, and that's good. So that works. Let's look at the next scenario. This one is minus $500, and it turns red. Do you notice that if there's money that has not been planned, it is yellow on the income minus outgo? If it's exactly zero, it'll be green, and if it's overspent, it's in the dreaded red. This one is $500 overspent. Will this work? This will not work over time. Now, if you had $500 of savings, you could pull from savings, but if you keep living life this way, eventually this will not work. Income minus outgo must equal exactly zero. So we pull up the basic budget form, and we'll start to prepare a basic monthly budget. And it starts out with nothing in there, and so we type in our first income. And let's say that I type in my name there, and it's $2,400. And when I do that, it will add $2,400 to the top where it says total income. Look at the chart. You'll see $2,400 appear in the total income line. Okay? Now, when my bride brings home her income, we expect her to bring in more because she's way smarter than me. So we type in her income, and you can see it show up there, and then it will add it to the top automatically in the wildly popular tool from the wildly popular website, and it will add those two together, and it shows that we have $5,400 to spend this month. Now, this is take-home pay, and I know some people are already putting their foot on the brake and saying, $5,400 take-home pay per month, I wish! And here's the deal. Don't get caught up in the numbers so much as learning the tool. See, I don't know how much money you bring home every month, but I know this. If you spend more than you make, that won't work because it won't equal exactly zero. So learn the tool. I'm just using these as example numbers. So in this example, we have $5,400. And so now we are going to start planning our spending. Okay? Before the month begins, we are going to plan our spending. So we're going to start typing in the first line of the budget, which is giving. And giving is the first thing that is on the budget, and we type in our giving. We're going to tithe, and we're going to put in $600 in this budget. Now, that $600 will start being added up in the outgo section of the budget. So it will automatically do the math at the top. $600 will lower it down to $4,800. Do you see how that works? Says yes. Yes? Okay. So then we type in gifts. You know, we have to buy some gifts this month. You know, we have, you know, the kid has a birthday, we have a baby shower we have to go to. So we type in $60, and it does the math at the top. and then we save some money for Christmas. Because it's coming. Christmas. Yes. December. It's coming. So we should save for it, right? So we don't do debt. So we put that in the budget. Okay? So then we move to the next section of the plan, and that is saving. And we type in some money to save. I always like to say, give 10% to God, 10% to your savings account, and spend the rest with a plan. So in this example, we put in $600 for the emergency buffer fund, and you can see it does some math for us, and then we type in $200 for a college fund, and so on and so forth. And as we type in the plan, you know, we put in the mortgage, and we have electricity, and it just does the math for us so that we can focus on where the money's going instead of doing a calculator exercise. I mean, typing numbers in a calculator and doing pencil and paper, you know, it works, but it takes a lot of time. And if you forget something, you have to go do the exercise again. And this one allows, it just does the math for you, and you, it has colors even, and we know we're aiming for green so that it's exactly zero, and we get our budget to exactly zero. Will that work? Absolutely, that will work. See, here's what I know. The plan should always include giving. It should always include saving, and it should always include plan the rest, plan all the rest of the spending. When you have a plan, there's a much greater likelihood that the money will go there. So some people do not have enough money to pay all the bills at the start of the month. And as a result, they need to have a plan for each individual paycheck. If you're paid weekly, I recommend using the weekly, bi-weekly, or bi-monthly budget. It's the second one down on the wildly popular website, joesangle.com. Click on Tools or go to the group study website and on Session 3, it will actually have that as the second one down as well. And in this example, you can see that we're paid weekly, and we type in all of our income, all of our outgo, and we make each individual paycheck be easy, exactly zero. Does that make sense? So income minus outgo has to equal exactly zero. If you don't have enough money in the bank to pay all the bills at the start of the month, just have a budget for each individual paycheck and plan it before you receive any of the money during the month. Now, some of you may be paid bi-weekly or bi-monthly. You receive two pay periods per month. And so in this one, you can see it with check one and check two, just having a plan for each one of those. The whole goal is to apply the formula, the secret formula that so few know about. That's not, you don't have to have calculus. You don't even know how to have, you don't even need to know how to do algebra. It's first grade math. Income minus outgo equals exactly zero. It's absolutely key to have a plan for every single dollar you receive. It's how I've learned to maximize every single dollar that I've earned. Here's what I know. The day that Jenny and I started spending our money on paper before the month began, that's the day we started winning with money. It's the day we stopped acquiring any new debt, and it's the day we started being able to apply extra money towards debt. And we were able to totally eliminate all of our non-house debt in 14 months. The average family can eliminate all their non-house debt in 18 to 36 months. And they can eliminate all their debt, including the house, in 7 to 10 years. This stuff works. And here's the deal. The budget, the spending plan, is the engine that drives this thing. It is absolutely the key to making sure that you fund your dreams. So we'll look at the next part here, and that is for seasonal, cyclical, and irregular income producers. Now, seasonal, cyclical, and irregular income producers, you have a special place in my heart because they are the people that are commissioned salespeople, they're small business owners, they're people who are out there getting it done, but their income could be here 1 month and through the floor the next month. And I lived it as a kid because my dad built homes. And I'll tell you what, on those cold Indiana months, there wasn't much revenue being generated because you couldn't even dig in the ground. And so we lived what I called a feast famine lifestyle. And it does not have to be that way. But here's what I hear most and always almost from seasonal, cyclical, and irregular income producers. They tell me, Joe, I can't budget because I have no idea how much money I'm going to make each month. And I would respond every single time, you can budget. And you need a budget more than anybody because we know you can have a budget. Here's how you do it. You go to the wildly popular website. You pull up the monthly budget form. instead of typing in income, go ahead and type in all of the expenses you need to make your life work each month. Type in your giving, your saving, your college savings, your mortgage payment, all your electricity, and some fun. Put it all in there. And in this example, let's say that you need $3,000 to do very well each month. Your number may be different, but for this example, let's say it's $3,000. And you need somewhere between 1.5 and 3 times that amount in a known slumps fund. Now, why would you need a known slumps fund? Because if you're in a seasonal, cyclical, or irregular business, you know one thing. The slumps are coming. You know, it's like Paul Revere of the financial world. The slumps are coming. The slumps are coming. The slumps are coming. I don't know when, but I bet you do. If you've been in the business longer than a year, you pretty much know when the peak months are. You pretty much know when the low months are, right? And here's the deal. You know how to predict them, but you don't know how low, and you hope they're not too low. And you don't know how long, and you hope the low ones are really short, and you hope the high ones are really long, right? But here's what we know. You need 1.5 to 3 times, maybe even in 4.5 times, that monthly need saved in a known slumps fund. It's more important than any other savings. It's more important than debt reduction even. You need to have this. This is called cash flow or working capital. And let me show you how it works. Let's say you need $3,000. Like this example shows, there's a dotted line where it says $3,000 for your average monthly expenses, and you have a known slumps fund at the left there. And that green bar shows that you have $9,000 in your known slumps fund. Now, in your first month, you have a great month, and you have $4,250 come in. How much do you live on? $3,000, not $4,250. My dad, when we were broke, used to go, "Thank you, Jesus. It's been a great month. Let's go on vacation. Or let's buy that next piece of equipment." And he would spend the money knowing full well the slump was coming. And as a result, when the slumps came, we were in a bad situation. But in this example, we live on $3,000. Where's the $1,250 go? To the known slumps fund, because we know the slumps are coming. So the $9,000 becomes $10,250. How awesome is that? All right, now next month, the bad month came. It's not good. We have $1,900. And we're $1,100 short. How much do we get to live on? $3,000. Now, if we didn't have a known slumps fund, how much would we be living on? $1,900. And it wouldn't be pretty. But because we have a slumps fund, a known slumps fund, we can pull the $1,100 from the known slumps fund and make it $3,000 that we live on. Have you ever had 2 bad months in a row? Oh, I'm preaching now. Yeah, it's even worse. This is when the 6 single kids would disappear to the back 40. We wouldn't come in until dinner time was whistled. And here's the deal. It's even worse. It's $1,600. We need $1,400. But because we have a known slumps fund, we can survive, can't we? In fact, we can prosper. And it comes from the known slumps fund. And finally, it returns and we have a $3,000 month. We break even and we don't have to touch known slumps fund. And while the months go on and on and on, let's show the next several months here. We see that our known slumps fund goes up and down, but our life is level smooth, isn't it? You've essentially put yourself on salary. And I'll tell you what, the bill payer in the family will thank you for doing this. It's not fun sitting there and seeing all that money saved in a known slumps fund, because you could go do some fun stuff with that slump fund, can't you? But I'm here to tell you, the businesses, the churches, the individuals that carry a known slumps fund are the ones that prosper in down economic times. It's the ones that can grow even when things are bad. It's when they can snap up bargains when everyone else is fearful and scared to death. The people who have the money on hand are able to get incredible deals. So if you are irregular, seasonal, or cyclical income producing, I urge you strongly to have a known slumps fund. It will change your life. So let's exit this session with me sharing some budgeting tips. And so we'll just put them up here on the screen for you. The budgeting tips, these are key. The first one is to work together. You must work together. If you're married and there's 2 people messing with the money, you have to work together. There is power in working together. I grew up with this song sang in church. Maybe you've heard it. and I'm going to sing it, and it's going to be terrible, and I apologize in advance. But we sang the song saying, there's power, power, wonder-working power. Have you heard that before? Well, we add a little to it with this finance thing. We sing, there's power, power, wonder-working power. When you work together on your finances, there is power. Wonder-working power when you work together on your finances. You'll see it all through my book that Jenny and I were not winning with money, and it's because I was managing the money to get what I wanted. We were not working together. We weren't talking about this stuff. And as a result, I managed the money to get what I wanted, and it was not working. The day that Jenny and I started working together and getting on the same page, it brought our marriage to a whole new level of unity. And I'll tell you what, we've been able to fund some dreams together, and it's awesome. I urge you, if you're married, to work together. If you're single, you still need accountability because you can't control the person that stares back at you in the mirror every day, all day. So let me define what good accountability looks like if you're single. It's a person who's one with money, not some broke brother-in-law. It's someone who's one with money. Two, they're not trying to sell you anything. You know, it can't be that insurance agent who says, yes, 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 you should do this and buy my insurance product. They can't be selling you anything. And the third thing is they're available and you can ask questions when you're getting ready to make a financial decision. That's huge. Working together is a huge tip towards making sure your budget works. The next one is that you should plan your spending before the month begins. Plan your spending before the month begins. See, here's the deal. Once I get the money in my pocket, I manage to make it leave if I don't have a plan. It just disappears. Have you ever done that? You get 10 days into the month and you're like, oh, where did all that money go? It just left. But the fact is, when you write down a plan before the money's paid to you and before the bank sends its little love letters wanting money, then you have a greater chance of the money going where you want it to go instead of just flying away. Plan your money, spend your money before the month begins. The next tip is this. It usually takes 3 months to be good at this thing. See, your first month, you're just kind of guessing on some stuff, isn't it? How much do I spend at the grocery store? I don't even have any idea how much I spend on gasoline. I don't know what my power bill is going to be. I have no idea what the kids are going to bring home from school where they're wanting money next, right? So, but after the first month, you don't have to type in all the expenses this time. Plus, you're paying attention to it, so it allows you to get a little better at it. The second month, you get even better at it. And the third month, you're on this thing, and most of this stuff becomes predictable. And what you'll see is it changes your mindset to looking ahead and saying, what expenses are coming my way that I need to be planning for? It usually takes about 3 months. In fact, I urge people who are in their first couple months of budgeting, and you should do this when you prepare your budget, and it's this. Why not put a little line item in your budget that says, we forgot, and just put a couple $100 in there? And that way, when you blow the plan, it doesn't blow up all the finances. So put a line item in there that says, we forgot. Another budgeting tip is this one. You should always give. You'll notice when I showed you the sample of the budget there that we had giving in there first. There's something that is very real and profound about being intentional about giving. You see, Jesus is God gave us his only son. He's the biggest giver we know. He created us in his image. That means we have the heart for giving. And there's something huge about saying, I'm going to be intentional about funding the things that I'm passionate about and being a giver. So you should always give. And the next budgeting tip is you should always save. See, if you don't save money, then you have no money in the bank, you're constantly at the whim of the next life wave being thrown at you. You see, if you have no money in savings and the car breaks down, you're going to turn to debt because you have to have the car working. But if you have savings, then you can weather that storm without doing any new debt. Savings accounts allow people to breathe easier. I remember the first day I had $1,000 in the bank account. And it didn't just happen. It took careful planning to get there. And all of a sudden, I realized I could breathe better. And then there was a day where it got to $5,000. And then there's a day where it got to $10,000. And let me tell you something. Financial margin allows you to think long term and it allows you to take some risk, and it allows when God calls you to go do something, you just say when. And when you see an opportunity to bless someone, you can just do it. Always give, always save. And then you should use cash envelopes. Cash envelopes are huge for making sure you stick to your plan. Now, there's some categories of your budget that you're not going to be impulsive at. Your electric bill, you're not going to impulsively say, I'm going to send them $200 extra. Like, if you're a bill payer in the room, maybe you found yourself in the closet going, the poor power company, they're just struggling for money. I'll send them $200 extra. Like, if you do that, you're weird, and you should get that checked out. That is not good. See, you're not going to send extra money to them. You're not going to spend $200 extra on gas impulsively. I can't help it. I have to pull in. My tank's full, but and you just pour the gas all over the trunk. I couldn't help it. It was on sale. You're not going to do that. You're not going to impulsively buy gas. But what about when you're at the grocery store? You can impulsively spend money there. What about at restaurants? What about while shopping or clothing? What about entertainment? What about just spending money? Can we overspend some spending money? See, those are impulsive categories. And Jenny and I have realized that the debit card won't work, the credit card won't work when it comes to those impulsive categories. A great way that we've found to control our impulsive spending desires is to have cash envelopes. We put together our plan, and for groceries, dining out, clothing, entertainment, and spending money, we put that money in cash envelopes, and we don't use the debit or credit card. We just spend cash money, and when the money's gone, the fun is done. Cash envelopes work. So, the theme of tonight's session has been, there must be a spending plan. There must be a spending plan. So the You Can Do This application is to use the budget tools at the group study site to prepare a written monthly spending plan for the upcoming month. Remember that it must be exactly zero. Easy, not Z, easy. And bring a copy to bring to the next session. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this session and for these people taking this study. God, I know that as we go to manage our money and bring it into 100% alignment with what your word says, that it can be so difficult to weather through the storms thrown at us. And I thank you for your word, Proverbs 21:5, that says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. God, I know that many of us, we want what we want, and we want it right now. And it's that very behavior that may have gotten some of us into a mess. God, I pray that you would give us the strength to persevere and weather the storms thrown at us so that we can stick to this thing and bring our finances into 100% alignment with what your word teaches us to do. God, thank you so much for your gift of Jesus. And he showed us how to persevere. He has persevered through the most horrific trial of all, and he made it through it in an amazing way. God, I pray that for these people who are taking this study, that they would just be able to prosper and that you would lead them to profit. And it's in your mighty name that I pray this, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want you to have an open and honest and real conversation with your group and take your next step, or I'll take your birthday away. You can do this. Thanks.
That's Joseph Stengel. Again, we do some later masterminds where we look at all of Joseph Stengel's curriculum. Let me just kind of say this just to highlight a couple of things. I thought that was a really good complement to Law 3, which is the law of process, because, again, it teaches us particularly how to handle or how to plan our finances. A couple of things I want to highlight because I know you couldn't actually see it. And, again, the on-site classes that are taking place actually have the live video so they can actually see the diagrams. Some of that you'll get via email. Matter of fact, let me say this. If you get a chance, go to the Joseph Stengel website. It's Joseph Stengel, and that's SANGL.com. You can definitely go there. If you don't get a chance to go there, don't worry about it. We'll be emailing you all of those budget forms that he talked about. You'll get those in the mail by tomorrow at noon. And so you'll have those to kind of start working on your personal budget, your business budget, and maybe ministry budget. But here are a couple of things I want you to just kind of note that I know are different from me. when he talks about making sure that your budget ends in zero, that was big. Again, I'm not a great finance guy, but I always envision having money left over and being excited about it, because if I had money left over, that meant I did a great thing. But one of the things Joseph Stengel teaches, as does Dave Ramsey, one of the other curriculums we use, is that you shouldn't actually have money left over. You should plan and have such a detailed plan that the money you're going to have left over was actually written into your budget. It should be written in as, this is what I'm going to save. It should be written in as, this is what I'll have as overage. But the idea isn't to just have a budget to manage your money. The idea is to have a budget because it proves that you spent the time going through a process, dealing with details to have a plan. And the other thing he talked about is, you know, that slump fund. Everybody knows that a slump is coming. And he mentioned it for those people who may not have a consistent income. I want to impress it upon every person, whether you have a consistent income or not, especially now. I know we have some people even on our call who have government jobs, but, you know, it was always said, get a government job, the government will take care of you. Even our government now, you know, with the sequestration, it's having to lay people off. And so you never want to get to a place where you're totally 100% dependent on what is your income. You always want to get to a place where you're planning for the not-so-good time, because when, not if, but when it comes, you're already prepared. Again, the last part I want to kind of talk about is in having that plan, and this is for me personally that I want to impress upon every person, is you never want to get to a place, and I'm saying never because I've been there personally, where you know what you want to do, you have the skill to do it, you have people around you who will rally, you know, to support the vision, the dream, the goal, the business, but you can't do it because you don't have the money. And I think we've been there before. Many of you on this call have wanted to start a business but didn't have the startup capital. Or maybe your ministry wanted to do something, but it was denied because the funds weren't available. Or it could be something as simple as a vacation. You wanted to just take a getaway. But when you check your account, you know, you had to choose between the rent, the mortgage, or taking that weekend getaway with gas and lodging. And so you ended up staying home. I really believe that if we better plan, if we think through where we're going, not just where we are, if we use the law of process, what will happen in our lives is we will always have open doors that we can run through to accomplish assignments, to see dreams fulfilled, to see businesses started, and most importantly, to maximize our potential. Don't get to a place because you misused what you had that you can't go farther than where you are. Tonight's lesson is on the law of process. It's not going to happen overnight. Take it day by day. Get the job done. That concludes our teaching for tonight. A couple of things, again, I want to remind you of. We're going to open these up for a conference call conversation. We're going to do that probably again after about law 15, and so we're going to try to get there quickly. But until we get there, I really want to encourage you again to jump on the Facebook. As a matter of fact, while it's still fresh, if you have some questions or you have some comments, why don't you jump on Facebook now and go ahead and submit some questions. If you are not on Facebook, email your questions or comments, and we'll post those on Facebook for you. We want to start up some conversation. And I want you guys to start meeting each other. Again, you know, we're all on a call, and the last couple of calls have been really silent, just kind of lecture-like. But I really would love for you to kind of meet each other, and I think Facebook is one of the ways you'll get to do that. You'll get to see some faces, see some of the other persons that are on the calls, see some of the other vocations, start sharing ideas. One of the things I want to just kind of toss out as we close when we talk about process is while we're starting this, you know when the end date is coming. Set for yourself some goal. By the end of this mastermind, this is what I want to have accomplished as it relates to either my business, my personal life, my ministry, or maybe some dream that you aspire to. But what we don't want you to do is go through this class, take the mastermind, meet the people, get the information, and be in the same place in 6 to 8 weeks that you were when we started. The law process. It's yours now. Share it with somebody else, and then most importantly, implement it for yourself. Thank you, everybody, for calling in tonight. Have a good night. Expect an email in the morning, and we'll be looking forward to speaking with you again next week. Good night.